For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. A kingdom in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The kingdom of his beloved Son. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth. The kingdom of his beloved Son. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. What were those evil deeds? Yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy, blameless, beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from obeying him, the hope of the gospel. The hope of the gospel. Not continuing faithfully what? Not continuing faithfully means you're moved away from the hope of the gospel. You were formerly alienated, hostile, engaged in evil deeds. He has now reconciled you if you continue not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Just for this moment, think on the preeminence of Christ, the one who created all. You've been brought into his kingdom if you are truly his. The one who created all, who is over all, through all, and in all, you've been brought into his kingdom. What have you been given? It goes back and forth between lordship talk and reconciliation relationship talk. Father, help us as we think through all that was there in Colossians 1, as we recognize, yes, we receive, it is precious on the other side. There's that reminder that we've been put in the kingdom of his beloved Son, and that king is one that's not to be trifled with. He is overall. Who do we think we are that can barter with you as to what it looks like to follow you? We are privileged to be in your kingdom. Yes, we are loved, and yes, we have been forgiven. But then, Father, there's a responsibility. We have been called to set our mind on things above, because all of us, naturally tend to look back here for our comfort and to make things the way we would like them. And you are calling us to live for something else, to not get too comfortable down here. So, Father, would you work in your people? Pray that this would be an embassy of heaven, not because of the building, but because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the lives of many in here. And that you would help us to yield to the Spirit, would lift up the words that you have given us, and that Christ would be head of this body. Would you work in us individually, and no growth that doesn't bring what you desire among your people here, as you help each grow to all aspects to him who is the head, even Christ. Lord, would you work in us so that the love of the Father would be the love that drives us to do the work that you have for us, not individually, together. And then, Father, would you use us individually where you've placed us at this season in life. We come in Jesus' name. Amen. We are working on a church that is full of people following Jesus. Those who are following Jesus will help others to follow Jesus. We started there in Colossians 1, and after we asked, we said, well, what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does making disciples include? I said, I don't believe that we are doing that the way that we should. We are making disciples, but of another gospel, an independent gospel that allows us to follow our own dreams and opinions and not work together under the head as he intends, building what he wants. Those are strong statements. I can back them up. I can give you books. I can give you scriptures and articles and movements that are bigger than us talking about what's going on inside of the church. But after I asked you what you thought it meant to follow Jesus, and then what you thought it meant to make disciples, I said, well, let's go through these passages and see what else it includes. What else it includes. This is what I want you to find. What we're trying to do here is not, there's not some secret code. I'm not frustrated with you. The only thing that discourages me is when you give up trying. Okay? You're not expected to see this right away because you're used to studying the Bible how you study the Bible. You're used to following Jesus how you follow Jesus. And like you, the reason I'm looking at these passages is like you to realize inside the Bible that you say is the Word of God, there are instructions for us that if we would pay just a little more attention to the words and the context, just not hit a home run, but there's more in there just from you looking at what's there to say, hey, maybe this would be more of what I should value in following Jesus. This should be what I'm looking for as I'm helping others to follow Jesus. So we continue in Colossians 1. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. Sufferings? If you looked at the beginning there, you say of Colossians 1, you say, this is wonderful. Jesus took us from darkness and he brought us to light. Well, look what living in among the people that have come to receive the gospel. Look what it includes. I do my share on behalf of his body, verse 24, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. In serving the body, it is ripping him apart the same way that Christ suffered for us. Of this church, verse 25, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now has been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him. Some of you picked up the annual report. Every household, grab one of those. Every member, read those, okay? Non-members, read them as well. We want you to become a member. If you're a member of Christ's family, then become a member here. But take that, read it. It's not this Wednesday night. It'll be next Wednesday night. Read the reports. And that's the center of my report. We proclaim him, admonishing every man, woman, every person, teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power which mightily works within me. Well, what does this look like? For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged. You think, encouraged, feel better? No, encouraged to continue. You carry that back to verse 23 of 1. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Through the whole body being fit and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. What is building up? To grow in all aspects to him who is the head, even Christ. That's Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Here, for having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument, saying that the church is to be built in, that all the churches are the same. You can pick whatever one you want, go wherever you want, find the flavor that you want. No. That's not Christ as head. That's why he labors, he struggles. What else does making disciples include? There's struggle. There's an evidence of dependence, is what you said, in the struggle. Motivating them to do the work is ripping his heart out. If you were going to join Paul in discipling this group of believers, you will struggle so that Christ is formed in each believer. That's enough. I won't go further on that. From there, we went to Galatians 4. We went to Galatians 4. And Ephesians 3. Well, we went to Ephesians 3. I'll leave that one alone. Galatians 4, 10 to 20. And you saw in here, we jumped right into the middle of his argument, that making disciples included heartbreak. You observe days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that perhaps I've labored over you in vain. I beg of you, brethren, become as I am. I have become as you are. You've done me no wrong. He's right down there with them. They're not saying, yes, Paul, we'll listen to what you're saying. They're saying he's having to struggle to even stay in conversation with these. You know that it was because of a body illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time. That which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe. You received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Where then is that sense of blessing you had? You don't feel like it's a good thing anymore that I'm teaching you here. In fact, you're telling me that I'm giving you the wrong gospel. I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. Have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? The enemy? They eagerly seek you. They, the people you're listening to, the people that you think are more trustworthy, they eagerly seek you, not commendably, but they wish to shut you out so that you will seek them. Listen to us. Listen to us. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. What's our problem today with Christianity? Too much YouTube. YouTube's not bad. Don't want you to get rid of it. But everybody says, I'll decide what's helpful to me. Thank you very much. And we're not forced to interact with each other. Go ahead, do YouTube, then interact with each other and be willing to rethink what you're hearing and seeing out there. But it's good always to be eagerly sought, 18, in a commendable manner, not only when I'm present with you, my children, with whom I am again in labor, until Christ is formed in you. I could wish to be present with you now and change my tone. I am perplexed about you. Tell me, you want to be under law. Do you not listen to the law? What does making disciples include? At times being seen as an enemy. continuing after them anyway, pursuing, vying for affection. Vying for affection. God himself does this in the Old Testament. He says, what have I done? Why do you whore after every other lover somewhere else? Come back to me. Vie. That's what you see Paul doing in here. That's what you will do if you are a disciple maker. You'll do it with those God has placed you with. We're not okay. You don't have to be where I am. You have to be complete in Christ. You're not there. I'm not there. We do this together. Slow, repetitive, consistent. I shared it with you. I'll share it again. I won your affection before. I work to win it again. This is part of our disciple make. Galatians 6, then 1 and 2. Brethren, if anyone is caught in a trespass, you are spiritual. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one look into yourself so you too will not be tempted. This comes right off the heels of what? Chapter 5, you know that is the fruit of the Spirit. Before that, the works of the flesh. Verse 25 of 5, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. He's saying there is something that should be worked on together here. Don't you realize if you're right that there's flesh in her or in him, it's your problem? Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. When you don't bear my burden, her burden, their burden of walking in the flesh instead of the Spirit, then you're haughty. Verse 3, if anyone thinks he himself he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Well, if they want to be stupid, let them be stupid. Then you're not bearing their burden. The last passage we did was Hebrews 10. This is last week. Hebrews 10, 22. Jumping right into the middle, let us draw near. No, back up. Verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Confidence. Instead of coming, I just talked to one who grew up Catholic again and said, I remember walking out of the confession booth after I tried to think of everything I'd done wrong. As soon as I walked out, I felt like I was sinning again and I just walked out. See, remember I said last week, part of disciple making here, before you don't, if you just run to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, what are good deeds? You get to decide? See, that's where the growl is in here. Some of you will be like, well, you're not accepting what I'm calling good Christianity. Nope, not. Because it's going to be dealing with your heart attitude. Is your heart surrendered? Remember, I said I told you that I was reading the Advent devotional that was over there by Sinclair Ferguson. He said 50 years ago, most of the books, the songs that were written, were all talking about full surrender, sacrifice, giving your whole life for the gospel. Not anymore. That's why people in here get really awkward when you sing, so send I you to labor unrewarded. All right? Go look at all those verses. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, across the page is that amazing one. Yes, they both are part of it. We just showed you in Galatians and in Colossians. And so if you aren't surrendered and willing to give up everything, all your dreams or whatever, you're not living under the Lordship of Christ. And my point is not to say you're terrible and I'm good and... No, I'm saying we will answer to the head of the church. That's what he said. And you said, well, I can't live under this guilt. No, you don't understand. You're not saved by doing it right. Or we don't have any standing. You won't be loved. You're not loved because you perform. That's what I told you I heard about a year ago. That's called the foster kid syndrome. When if I'm not a good girl, if I'm not a good boy, they're going to send me back to the home. They're going to give me a different family. No! That's not how God treats you, like a foster kid like that. On the other side, who is this God then let your kingdom come, your will be done. Yeah, I'm trying. No, you're trying by yourself. This is what Paul's laboring for to pull them together. So he says here, you're done with the sacrifices. He made a way, right? We all go for that, right? There's he once for all, sacrifice once for all. And verse 21, since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Draw near. You belong with God. Your sins have been paid for. Yes, you sinners, me sinners. Right now, we're still not following him the way we should. They've been paid for. Run in behind the veil to the holy God. Well, then let us, verse 23, hold fast the confession of our hope. What's your hope? That you belong with the holy God. You belong. Hold on to that without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Remember we talked about this? When you're feeling tempted, you said, others are treating me like I don't belong, or I feel my sins. You better feel your sins. But you belong. You can belong. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What's the day? The day of judgment. Well, how do you encourage one another? You're encouraging one another in light of he has paid your sins. You belong. What would make you not assemble together? Looking for identity and purpose somewhere other than under Christ. That would make you not assemble together. You got other jobs. Sorry, love to be there, but. Well, stop making all the services. Wait, what are we accomplishing here? So consider how to stimulate one another to love. Love. As I have loved you, you also ought to love one another. Was it love as Paul wrestled for their souls in Galatia? You would have plucked out your eye for me. Do you see me as an enemy? They're not seeing him as loving. He said he's loving them. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment. Notice every reassuring passage we read in here is balanced by a prick. There's a responsibility. That's what we're saying. Just follow Jesus. What's the answer? You say, this is too hard. Leave your nets, follow Jesus. Leave your nets, follow Jesus. One more passage for you, all right? And 1 Peter 1, this is the last one that I'm going to do. My goal was to find some that showed clearly that you said, oh yeah, okay, this is what I need to help my brother or sister do. Others, I want to show you that it's there. There's responsibility, but you're going to have to look for it, all right? All right? Now, my dad, when he did his math classes with us, he had four questions, all right? He said, when you're looking at a problem, ask, what do I have? Where am I going? How do I get there? Does it make sense? What do I have? Where am I going? How do I get there? And does it make sense? That's what I want you to find in here. I'm going to read this passage, okay? We jump right into the middle. We don't have time to do everything else. The whole rest of the book. We're not going to run all the commentaries and all that. You study on your own. I just want to say, look in here. We're looking for what is making disciples include, so then we pull it off in layers, pyramid. You find something, then we think about, well, okay, what are the implications for my life in following Jesus, and what should I be looking for to help others follow Jesus? Ready? Here we go. You're going to tell me, what do we have? What are our pieces? Don't answer. Other than, what does making disciples include? And then you say, well, I don't know if this is what you're looking for, I don't know, but as I look in this passage, following Jesus includes, helping others follow Jesus includes, all right? Look for the easy things first. Don't say, I'm not going to say that, it's too obvious. Say it. That's part of what do you have. Ready? 1 Peter 1:17. If you address his father, I cheat, I got to read 16. 16 says, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Oh, 15. Like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. All right, fine. If you address his father, the one who impartially judges according to each one's work. That kind of fits with the sting in Hebrews 10. With the Colossians 1 vision of who Christ is. Conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world. That sounds like Colossians 1. But has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him, Christ, are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have an obedience to the truth, think, how does obedience fit with faith? Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren? Where did that come from in here? Fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, you've been born again through your amazing reasoning that made you say, I choose Christ, he's better. No, you've been born again through the living and enduring Word of God. This is 2 Corinthians 4 style. The God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts. For all flesh is like grass, all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long to grow. No. Long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Salvation from what? If you have tasted, that Greek, that since you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Tasted, milk of the word. Got a taste, latched, want more. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men. Do you live under the lordship of Christ? Or do you reject that he is a choice and precious stone? Choice and precious in the sight of God. You also as living stones. The stone begat living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. Tie that with Hebrews 10. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. There you go. What do we have? What do we have? Go, Jim.
Remember from Galatians 6, what the question was that someone might ask, what qualifies us for this inheritance?
Yes.
In the passage you just read, we were redeemed by his precious blood as of a lamb and spotless the blood of Christ. When we come to the point where we surrender to that, then Christ imputes his righteousness into us. So,
right. Okay. What does making disciples include? Reminding that your redemption is secure because bought with God blood. Who would need to be reminded that their redemption is secure because they were bought with God blood. Who? What would be the practical evidences in your life and in my life? See, you go, yeah, all right, you be, we all know that. And then we run to a counselor because I'm having trouble with my wife, my husband. No, you're having a trouble understanding your identity under Christ. That's what you're having trouble understanding. Okay? Who would need reminding that your redemption is secure? Describe that person. Because it's bought with God's blood. Okay. Okay. Someone. All right. Now watch this. Drowning in inability to stop sinning. And careful. I don't think we're so worried about sin for the right reason. All right. What's the problem with sin? What's the problem with sin? That's it, right? I think we're more worried that our sin separates us from the other people we love. Well, the flip side of that is to go, your sin separates you from me. If you would stop that, then you and I could have an amazing relationship. See, I'm afraid we're more worried about sin horizontally. She did that, I can't trust her again. He did that, I can't trust her again, him again. He did that, he's annoying. What's your sin? The only thing that sin is first against God, second, you get slapped, right? You get slapped. When you're so focused about fixing it with them first, you're not recognizing the nature of sin. Because that's where Galatians said, remember, help somebody if they're caught in a trespass, right? Watch out for yourself, lest you too be tempted, right? If you try to go in and, right, when you were a kid, right, and you break up your brother and sister and say, stop fighting, we all love each other, right? And then all of a sudden they treat you like, bruh. And then if you're not careful, then you slap them right back, right? You say, forget this, I tried, right? That's always going on with my kids. When you come in, you go after one of them and they go, you have no idea what that one just did to me. It's like, yeah, but I heard what you did. And they go, but that was worse. It's like, it's both a problem, okay? And that's why stop trying to figure out which one of your kids did wrong. Work with whoever heart is willing to be talked with. All right, fine. You over there in the corner. Why are you picking on me? Because of that attitude right there. I know there was more going on, but I don't care if you were right. Look what happens to you if I don't respond the way you want me to. Look what happens. And that's what you have in here. Someone drowning in their ability to stop sinning. And here, in God's eyes, or in their eyes. Their eyes. That's why our biggest problem is not just who's doing wrong in here. God knows that. It's how you're responding to them doing wrong. Forget it. I can't be here. If you're not going to mix it, she won't even look at me. He won't even talk to me. That's your problem. And you can point that finger right back at me because I need to hear that. Right? I need to look past and look at the head and remember he paid for my sins. He holds my attention. Right? That's what disciple making includes. I need to do this. You need to help me do this. Someone drowning in their ability to stop sinning in God's eyes are, please put there in quotes. Their eyes. We're so worried about, I can never please them. I don't know what I did wrong. I don't know. Why are you so worried about their approval? Ephesians 5:10, trying to find what is acceptable to the Lord. That's where your focus is. You said, good, I don't have to listen to John David. You don't have to listen to John David. You do need to deal with the elders in a church. They're not always right. But you need to think, why are they the elders? Well, I don't know. I wouldn't elect them. I got it. There's some sovereignty in providence, including sometimes we have to deal with the mess of our own choices. That's in your marriage. That's with other things. We have to think, where are we going? What shows the headship of Christ? What else? Where would you have to remind somebody that your redemption is secure because it's bought with Jesus' blood? Do you have anything else? Are you going there or are you going somewhere else? Okay, go somewhere else before you forget it, and I'll come back to this. Go ahead, Sandy. What else did you notice? What do we have in here?
You said, what do we have?
Yes,
so,
ma'am.
What we have is the living and enduring Word of God. So we don't have to go about making up what he wants from us. He has already told us. It's just we don't always want it his way. So we do have his living and enduring word.
All right. Okay, so the second one, and I want to redo this, so that second one is a subset of the first one. This one is a second one. We don't have to make up what God wants because we have his enduring word. All right. So I'm 6 months behind in World Magazine, and one of the funny things was somebody after 28 years, their little bottle got found with a note in it. Right. The note was just written on a old cigarette carton, and I don't know. I was just found far away, one of those things. The guy just died 2 years ago, right? They go looking for everybody. Somebody found the pictures on social media and said, yeah, that was my dad. He said that, put that bottle out 28 years ago. So they're sending the cigarette box back to the family so they can say, your bottle was found. Okay? Well, his name was scrubbed out because of the water wear on that. See, if we're not careful, you think, I don't care about church history. I don't care about all the things that have gone before. I care that this church isn't helping me and my family. You say, why do you keep talking about this? Because of the wandering nature of today's Christianity. And you're quick to say, I don't like that preacher. I like this preacher. Do you remember what it says in Timothy? The time will come when they'll want to have their ears tickled. You go, well, that doesn't mean you're right. You're right. It doesn't mean I'm right. But it also doesn't mean you're right. We have an enduring word. Sit under it. Drink it in. Why is it so hard for us to memorize together? We're looking for you to make movement toward it. You're not all going to be able to memorize it like Tim. But when you go, I've just forgot, you know what that shows? Not only is it not a high priority for you to meditate on the word, but you're saying, I'm not going to let anybody else leave me to do that together. You said, this is pretty sharp, John David. What we're saying is we need to value the word. Why do we feel pressure in here to get less services? Okay. All right. Well, you're not getting anything out of the sermons. Your schedule's full, all this other stuff. Is your life filled with more meditation on God's word? Show me. What does it look like for you? Now, it's going to be different for us, okay? But that same word will lead us to the same God, which will lead us to similar purposes. Do we have similar purposes in here? Your purposes need to be not mine, but Christ. Right? The same word. What does making disciples include? We don't have to make up what God wants because we have his enduring word. Where would that come up? When we, underneath that one, Ellie, is when we have different opinions and values of what is important and how to live. There it is. Doesn't mean you're right. When you help other people, doesn't mean you're right. But you got to go, whoo, looks like, remember, I value that at an 8 and you value that at a 23. Okay, well then, hey, let's figure that out. How much is what just different personalities, okay, and different backgrounds and different experiences, how do we head toward affecting one another till we attain to the unity of the faith? Well, just because we have the same faith doesn't mean we have to live the same. so that with one voice you may glorify God. Romans 15. Well, I would if you stop pushing how we live. Okay, well then how does he want you to live? Well, I'll ask him this week. Okay, good, do that. And what will guide us? The living and enduring word of God. Now go back. See, now we got two. We got the first, and then underneath that is a sub-point of that. Every one of these main points you could add more to. What are the implications of reminding that your redemption is secure because you're bought with Jesus' blood? Who would need to hear that? We can talk some more about that or not. And then the second, we don't have to make up what God wants because we have his enduring word. Where would that come out? When we have different opinions and values and what's important. You say, okay, fine. You do what you got to do. I'll do what I got to do. But we got to be meditating on his word together. So what were you thinking about his word this week? What were you thinking about? Well, this verse contradicts what you said. Okay, well, can we say this in love? Okay, well, I wasn't getting wound up. You were. No, I didn't mean wound up. You can be wound up. We're different personalities. I said, we have to care to own one another. You can't just blow up each other or walk away. You got to work through it. Our society doesn't know how to work through it. We walk away. We are salt and light. Not when we are clones of each other, but when we acknowledge the differences and say, whew, it's going to be a long haul, but here we go. Let's just start on it. And by the way, we have a great God. Let's praise him together, and let's do the rest of what we do agree on while we work on the parts we don't agree. What does making disciples include in here? What do you see? What do we have? Ellie, go.
The verse 22 on chapter 1, it speaks a lot. Because it's a package that making disciples should have. First is obedience in the truth, because we know that truth, just like what Sandy said, we have the word already, and then what we got to do with the word. So the call to action to the word is obedience. And then, of course, when we're obeying God, it is kind of like for the purpose of purifying our souls, because it's difficult to minister if your heart is not right and if your heart is not purified. I mean, it's a vital factor there. And also, then after that, then you can sincerely love your brethren because you get the love of God that it's difficult to love and serve without the root from the love of God. It'll gonna be superficial if it's just our own love, because we can get tired of loving others. And then, of course, the last one is fervently love one another from the heart. So it's a matter of It'll go back to the first one, the obedience to the truth, because that's what God wants us to do.
A calling to obedience to the truth. Why don't you start with just where you think you're sinning? Do you think you are walking in step with him? And maybe you do. Maybe you say yes. I think I'm dealing with every known sin in my life, and I have fellowship with him daily. You can have fellowship with him daily. But you got to deal with your known sins. You say, well, I am. Okay, good. Are you? Or are there, what do they call them? Besetting sins. Well, okay, but what are you doing with besetting sins? Are you fighting them? Why? Because you're embarrassed about them? No. Why should you fight sins? Not just because you're embarrassed about them and they make a lot of trouble for you with other people. Why do you fight besetting sins? Sins you're ashamed of, they just keep coming out, whatever it is. Why should you fight them? And it's time for you to say your answer again. That's it, because it separates you from God. Now, please remember that. You said that's simple. No. Don't, because you're, if I say, how much do I share with you about yourself, about each other? You say, if you tell anybody this, I'll kill you. You already told somebody I'm going to kill you. All right, I got it. All right, those are the things I'm thinking about, the things that you are struggling with, the things you don't want me to know about. Why do you fight them this week? Because you want fellowship with God. That's why you fight them. You don't fight them because somebody else will know. Somebody else will judge me. Somebody else won't treat me nicely. That's not why a Christian fights sin. That's where moralism lives. That's where, as a church, we help each other become better us's. You need to be a better us. All right? You obey the truth. Start with what you know. Then you have to realize if he is greater than you, then there are plenty of sins that you don't even notice because you're not seeing him as he is. Well, what do you do? Grow in knowing him. Well, what do you do with sin? Well, the more you grow in knowing him, you dummy, you don't feel overwhelmed when you see more sin because you see that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the chief, Paul said. So then what that means? You can't grow in knowledge. See, what happens? You grow in knowledge with me. You say, I love you, John David. I love you, John David. I love you. John, stop judging me. You're wrong. Okay, fine. I'm wrong. But see, that's what happens with God. You go, well, I love you, God. I love you, God. I love it. Good. Then let him tell you there's more and more and more and more and more and more and more not holy in your life. Well, he paid for that. He paid for what? You need to know what he paid for. And as you see what he paid for, what do? You fall on your knees and you say, thank you. Thank you. And you realize the grace of God, which gets that out of you that says, I don't have to put up with this no more. I can't wait till I get to heaven because I've had to endure more than my share. No, you realize he had to endure more than his share, right? That's where you get your souls purified. Well, then all of a sudden I go, well, so what is this sinner and I having a problem with? What is this sinner and I can love. Why? Because he has loved me. I can forgive. Why? Because he forgave me. Ephesians 4:32, right? So verse 22 is not just saying, well, please, because I think we equate love for each other as I didn't say anything mean. I didn't snip at them. I didn't do them any harm. That's not Christian love. That's grocery store politeness. Right? You have to be in each other's life. So obedience to the truth, not obedience to the preachers, except where they're in line with the truth. The preachers push you. Should they? If you knew my heart now, you know I'm scared stiff of what I'm doing right now. Because I know that I'm pointed. I also believe this is foundational. If we don't get this, we're going to continue along the slippery slope of American Christianity that has so many resources that we're doing endless Bible studies, and it never translates into you loving her, him, the way he called you to, which makes us, what did Colossians say? Knit together in love. That's the goal. That's the goal. Why do you knit together with her or him? Not because they're the best person. They may be a pain in the neck. But because they were called by God to him. They profess faith in Christ. For Christ's sake, you deal with her or him. You know what? You go to Idaho First Baptist, and it's the same. She's there too. Just ask the preacher of Idaho First Baptist. He'll tell you. I told you, that's what makes me more confident. I talk to all the preachers. They're all different personalities, all different backgrounds. You argue about this, we argue about that. And you realize they have the same people in their churches who aren't being knit together in love. So we accept less and less. And we go, as long as we're here. Remember I told you a local church in the area, I said, after COVID, I said, "Whoa, are you hearing the vaccine stuff? Are you hearing that?" And he goes, No. We don't have any, we don't hear much of that disagreement. He said, we have a bigger problem. He said, we have another problem. They just got so used to not coming to church that they haven't come back. So they can say, praise God, we don't have any division in this church. Yeah, but they're not here. See, we change the definition of what healthy Christianity looks like. That's what I'm arguing for in here. You look in here, and before you even go to the commentaries and say, that's your opinion and all that, Back to, remember, it has to mean something. That's what we're going after. What's has to be something, and it stands before you and after you. When we're all done with these fads, remember, I still feel the pressure. Can't we do small groups? Can't we do small groups? And then I told you I found a book, Beyond Small Groups, What to Do After Small Groups Don't Work. Oh, okay. So we're going to live 30 years and change our whole churches, and then after that you change them all again. Yes, we need to do it. We need to be relevant for the time. But where did we end up? Now we're back to the congregational meetings. You don't argue about the methods. The methods reveal what your main focus is. You focus on the why and the what. That will then change the how. What do you got in here? Anything else? Where's the mic? Because then it's right here, Nicole. And then Jim.
It's going to include feeling like an outsider. So in verse 17, everything the NASB said, well, your time on earth, everything ESV says, your time in exile. So it's to an extent like comparison to Ephesians 2:19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens. So the reason we're in exile while we're on earth is because we don't belong here anymore. And so while we're trying to make disciples, those people aren't necessarily immediately in the family. And so it is feeling other, weird, different, because if you're not different, you're not taking them into anything than what they already are.
Isn't that something? She looks at that part, and it says here, she saw the one side of that. You are to feel like an outsider. Okay? See, that's what I struggle with. You know, we struggle with where to go, and here is a church. Why do I say there's pressure? You go, I don't know if there's pressure, John David. Who are these people that are giving you pressure? Okay? You know what I'm concerned about? It's not you. Sometimes you're so busy doing what you want, you're not recognizing the bigger whole. When I said in men's fellowship, we don't have an awareness of what's going on in the denominations around us. What went on at the Southern Baptist Convention? What went on in the PCA Convention? You say, who cares? Do you realize when these are the largest bodies of conservative Christians around? If you don't watch what's going on in their things, it's eventually going to come into our world. That's where you guys come from. That's where I come from. But you go, I don't care where I came from. I don't care where they're going. I don't care where they're going. That's right. That's individual Christianity. You're doing your own thing. And then you're just looking for people that are seeing it like you. Which is why, yeah, we can argue all day about whose body needs what and whether you can use gluten or not. But if you're not careful, you're choosing a church by whether they have gluten-free communion wafers. Bring your own. So you say, stop saying that? But see, that's what you look and you start seeing. Every church is going somewhere, says, and some, I just talked to Pastor John Walters at Harvest. He goes, we're a mile away from LBC. How come we don't have more LBC students? He goes, it can't be because we're not hip enough. And I go, well, Cole's husband was telling me years ago, he goes back there, that when he described what was going on here, you know, like, do they make you go to prayer meeting? None of them wanted to come to that. And that's what I told you. You listen to where the trends are going, and then you think, what would you die to preserve in here? And as soon as you go, that's just their opinion. The leadership, well, it's just a few years before it dies, because you won't carry it on. We need to wrestle together, not so that I'm always right, but so that we have a more unified vision, which will reproduce. That's why we're saying we need to make disciples. If we're not, she just said, if we're not willing to be awkward down here, right, then we're not fitting in up there. You need to think about what the eternal values are. So with that, it wasn't just whether there's prayer meeting, but then it comes down. I mean, what did Pastor John go? He goes, well, it can't be that we're not hip enough. He goes,
I wear jeans. There it is. There's the second one. What do we wear? You don't have to wear what I'm wearing. What are we trying to focus on here? Otherness. We are an other than people. Reverence, respect. Wear what you need to. But whatever you're wearing, does it help you to remember respect? Difference. It was helpful when Mark Dever said they were talking about, should we have extra services? And he goes, whatever the reason you have the Sunday night, he said, we want our people at the, what did he say, the midweek and the Sunday night was optional, however he put it, but they have them. He goes, and somebody goes, well, it's not fitting in their schedules. He said, we don't keep it because it's convenient. We are not like them. What are them doing? Well, I talked to Pastor Paul Frayer up in Sussex. He goes, well, up there, the bedroom community in New York City, right? Most of you don't like New York City. He goes, you know how people are around here. They're not interested in anybody talking to them. They got their own business. Do you think we're becoming more or less like that? I don't need to stay late. Remember I told you Protestants used to make fun of Catholics because of the mad rush to the door as soon as Mass was over? A naughty Catholic would skip the Mass at the end, which is supposedly the whole reason you were there, which we think is blasphemous and wrong, that they eat the body and blood of Christ. But that's the whole reason they're there, right? And they would skip it to pick up the paper in the lobby and beat the cars out of the lot. Are we moving closer to that or further from that? This church is weird because they want us to be knit together. Don't they realize we have a life? Yep, go do your life, but be knit together. Why? Because he said so. Remember, it's not just whether you're annoyed at me. What if I'm annoyed at you? Well, I know you're annoyed at me. Well, what do you want me to do about it? Meaning, whether I am or not. What do you want me to do about it? You want me to look to Christ and love you like he wants me to, right? Well, that's what I want you to do. Look to Christ and love me like he wants. Love her. See, sometimes we're not annoyed at one another because we're not together enough. Whoever you're annoyed at in your own household, that's how you'll get with the other people in here, if you have to deal with them. It's funny that she said, you feel like an exile in this passage. Where's the possibility for awkwardness in verse 17, beside where Nicole said? Answer this and I'll quit. Answer this. Where's the possibility for awkwardness? Okay, I have it. If you address as Father, the one who impartially judges according to each one's work. What's he judging by? Verse 15 and 16, be holy as I am holy. If you're not careful, you and I are caught between two worlds, right? We're not supposed to fit in with them. Do you fit in fellowship with a holy God? You go by the blood of Jesus. Good, then by the blood of Jesus, walk holy. Lord Jesus, would you help us as we think about these things? It's pretty hard-hitting stuff. I pray that we would just think on it, that you would help your word to loom large, that we're willing to look again at what we have and just pray, meditate, think, study, talk with one another, and slowly not only obey, but Father, would you show us the treasure that we have in Christ. Thank you. We can belong. We can call you Father. We can be forgiven. We are loved. We don't have to fit in somewhere else. We've been given an eternal home with a holy God. We've been made holy by the blood of Jesus for the love of Christ. Would you help us to walk in obedience to the truth and do it right down here with each other? And we come in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Good job.